This week's Parsha talks about Yehuda coming forward. The question is, why are we called Yehudim, Jews, after Yehuda, and not Reuvenites, after Reuven, who was the first born of Yaakov, of Bnei Israel? Of course, there's a historical reason, because Yehuda, where the area, was the only one to survive the first destruction of the temple. But I believe there's a spiritual reason as well. Yehuda was the one who, when they were going to take his brother, Binyamin, he said, Anochi ervenu miadi tevakshenu. I am my brother's keepers. I'm going to be an arev to my brother. And then he says, in fact, Ve'echa leel avi, how will I go to my father? And I would say, meaning my father in heaven, Avinu Shebashamayim, how can I go to my father in heaven and daven every day, Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samid v'anare nenuiti, and when my brother is not with me? And so we are called Yehudim because we care, and that's where, of course, the phrase Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Bazeh comes from, that we're arev for one another. So when Shalom Rubashkin's daughter over all the time kept saying to me, I don't understand how you don't even know my father, you never met him, and yet you care for each one. That's the reason. It's because it's not because he was Shalom Rubashkin, it's because he was a Jew who needed help. When I was first asked to get involved back in July or August, Shalom Duchman said to me at the time, Yechiel, I want you to know there's something very strange about this situation. It just, you know, it's been going for 8 years. We haven't been able to do it and to free him. There's something supernatural. He couldn't put his finger on it, but there's something, the way I would describe it, as the Ramban described, Lamala Miateva, going on here. And, of course, that didn't affect me. There's the union of Hishtadlus. I wasn't expecting to be really successful, necessarily, in him being freed. But you do the Hishtadlus, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does what he does. What happened was that every time I was sure that he was going to be freed, and I was told such by General Kelly, the chief of staff, and each time I would send out a note to four or five people, Zvi Borowski, Lipsker, Shalom Duchman, Beryl Lazar, and Shlomi Peles. Those were the people who I would write to and say, it's going to happen tomorrow. And it didn't. I said, it's going to happen before Rosh Hashanah. And then Rosh Hashanah came and it didn't happen. And then I said, no, it's going to be before Yom Kippur. And it didn't happen. Then it's going to be by Sukkot, and it didn't happen. I figured maybe Simchas Torah is a perfect time. It didn't happen. And then before the Chanukah party of President Trump in the White House, I was sure that's when it was. That's what I was told. I was given the vibes. Each time I sent out the note, it's going to happen tomorrow. And I had these, not arguments, but I kept telling this, the Shaliach Tzvi Borowski, wonderful, wonderful young man, I kept saying, Bitochon, Bitochon, you have to have trust, it's going to happen today, tomorrow, I said. I heard, it's going to happen. And I felt guilty the whole way through, because I was building tzipiot, I was building expectations in the family and among others, and not because of my credibility. I mean, I wasn't concerned about my credibility. I was just concerned that I was building up expectations each time and they were not being fulfilled. Then when it came time to before Hanukkah, I was told clearly by the president that it's going to happen Hanukkah, not to worry. And so comes Hanukkah and it doesn't happen. Comes the second day, the third day, the fourth day. Comes finally the day before the eighth day, the seventh day. And I get word it's going to happen tomorrow. And at this point, I'm really reluctant and scared to go telling everybody, but I did. And I said, it's going to happen tomorrow, bitachon. And by 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night in Israel, it still hadn't happened, which was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so I figured, okay, it's another one of those episodes. It's not going to happen, and I'm going to look like a fool and build up expectations. And what's the next step to that? Because each time it was not happening, I said to the team, okay, what's the next step? The next step is Yom Kippur. Let's work towards Yom Kippur. Then let's work towards Sukkot. Okay, then let's work towards Hanukkah. Let's work towards the thing at the White House. Okay, now the next thing. What's the next thing? Event, Christmas and New Year's. So in the end, I went to sleep at 10:30 at night. I guess my bitachon wasn't as good as it should have been. Because by then it was 3:30 in the afternoon in New York, and I figured it's not going to happen. I'm going to be wrong again. I went to sleep. There wasn't a day since August, not a day that went by that I didn't wake up in the morning and run to the news, to the emails, to see whether he was freed. And there wasn't hardly a day that I didn't in some way work on it. But I went to sleep. And Joelle, next thing I know, wakes me up at 7 o'clock. She says, Yechiel, he's freed. He's freed. And everyone all over the world is looking for you. And Shlomi Peles is trying to get hold of you. And Beryl Lazar, and they're singing in the streets and dancing, etc., etc. So I got up, and it happened. And then I talked to lots of people, but Beryl Lazar called me with Shlomi Peles, and he taught me a very important lesson. I'm not sure he meant to teach it to me, but I learned a very important lesson. He said, now the next thing is that the Achdus that we're seeing hasn't been seen since Yutes Kislev, which is back in 1786 or whenever, when the Alter Rebbe was free. And it's not just Chabad people who are singing and dancing. It's Satmar. And I know from the Karlin Rebbe, he was constantly interested in what's going on. And it's all the people, whether they were even Hasidim or not Hasidim. It just brought together Klal Yisrael in a way that we haven't seen in a long time, if ever. And so Beryl Lazar said, well, that's the kind of achdus that can bring Mashiach. So he said, okay, now your next task is to bring Mashiach. The same thing. I was reminded of what Shalom Duchman said from the very beginning. There's something supernatural about this case. And the same way that the supernatural prevented Shalom Rubashkin from being freed for so long, and the same way that he got this crazy jail sentence, the whole supernatural negative part had a corresponding supernatural good part. And maybe that's what the supernatural Yisurin were all about. That the supernatural yisurin that he and his family and others went through would bring about a supernatural geula and Yeshua and Achdus. And that's what was going on. Nobody could figure out why he couldn't be freed, why he kept... It just wasn't happening. Then I realized, and I realized all the way through, that I was... This wasn't Yechiel Eckstein. This is all Bidei Shemayim. And that I was being used by Hashem as a kli. And somehow, for some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked me to be a key person, not the only one. Many others were more involved for a longer time, gave more time, etc., to this whole thing than I. But I was the Makeh Bepatish. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for some reason, selected me to be a kli, to bring Achdus to Klal Yisrael, which is what I've tried to do over all my life. And a number of people talked about how what it was that I did in my prior Gilgul to be Zoche, to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring the Yeshua through me. I don't know, but it was Yeshua Hashem keheref ayin. And the lesson that I realized was when Beir Elazar said, next work on Mashiach, the key was right there. The key is, I was embarrassed every time I said the Mashiach, he's going to be freed, Shalom, is going to be freed then tomorrow, and the next day. Each day, time, I was so sure, just because I heard it from Basar Vadam, I was so sure that it's going to happen the next day, and I would spread it around, etc. And then I was disappointed. I was not deterred from continuing, but I was disappointed. I had let people down. I had let people believe that it wasn't. And what I realized from Beir Elazar's comments is that's going to bring the Mashiach. When we have the kind of bitochon and emuna that's not from Basar Vadam, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send the Mashiach and he's coming tomorrow, and we tell people about it and we act toward it and we're really expecting it to happen, and then when he doesn't come, we still continue to wait for him and to act for him and we're disappointed, then the Mashiach will come geherifying. That's the message. If we want to bring Mashiach, if we want to keep that level of Achdus, we have to truly have emuna and bitochon that it's going to happen today. And even if it doesn't, day after day after day, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will honor it.